కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీన సమగ్ర జగత్పతి గోపీశ గోపికాంత రాధాకాంత నమస్తే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగి రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి విషభాన్ సుత దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. నమో మహావరణ్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామినే గౌరకృష్ణ నమః. వంశాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామీతి నామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాన్ని ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవారి పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణి. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసరి గౌర భక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే.
Actually, we are not qualified to speak on these beautiful verses, but devotee asked me to speak, so I must speak and I say something. I hope all devotees will give me your blessing. Beautiful verses, equally beautiful purports. I think the purports speak for themselves. How am I going to expand? So Sukadeva Goswami is actually describing the Lord in the heart, because he's teaching Parikshit Maharaj how to attain to Godhead. First he spoke about the unmanifested form of the Lord, and he gave him how to do that. You know, he gave him examples and he told him what to meditate on. And after that, now he's going into the first about the Brahman, yeah, and now he's going to talk about the Paramatma feature. Now he's explaining how the Paramatma looks. And in this verse, we can see how beautiful the Lord is. And after that, he's going to talk about the Bhagavan feature, the personality of Godhead. So in this verse, you can see Krishna is not, or the Supreme Lord is not just an unmanifested form. He's giving, it is not even some people will say it is imagination, but it's not an imagination. Because he can see the Lord, he can describe. If you see someone, then he can describe. Now how can we, some people in the material will say, I love this person. Why do you love the person? Because you see the person. You can't say, oh, I love this person, but I don't know the name of the person. I don't know the features of the person. I don't know where the person lives. But I love that person. That is stupid, isn't it? That's foolish. The only way you can love someone is by knowing who is that person, how he looks like, where he lives, you know, what, how he dresses, and what he says, who are his friends. Then you can love that person. Otherwise, it's not possible to love that person. Therefore, Krishna, or rather, Sukadeva Goswami is giving Parikshit Maharaj and all of us, through Parikshit Maharaj, how to understand to love God, so that we can know, have an idea of the form of God. That is very important for us, otherwise it's not possible. Because previously he was talking about Brahman, right? Unmanifested form he was talking, and he said, oh, you have to concentrate on the mountain, on the rivers, on everything, so many things, the flowers, water, everything. But difficult. It's quite difficult for all of us, you know. After some time, we'll be thinking, oh, this mountain looks very nice. this tree is there, the flower is there, how nice it will be if I can climb the mountain, I want to see what is on top of the mountain. We will deviate from our concentration. But if you have someone in front of you, I mean, all of us have some experience in loving the opposite sex, right? Or at least from childhood we have said, oh, a puppy love or something. You know, we'll be attracted by beauty. So Krishna is the most beautiful person. Like Prabhuji said yesterday, the most beautiful person is Lord Krishna. Yesterday's Bhagavad Gita. So we have established that, you know, he's the most beautiful person. Mohini Murti, you know, if he wants, he can the most beautiful, right? So like that, Krishna comes and he gives you his form. And when he given you this form, you can concentrate on this form. And you know who is the Lord, how to concentrate, what to concentrate on, right? And the next translation is, Sukadev Goswami is saying that we must concentrate on the transcendental form of the Lord, and we must think and remember his pastime by meditation. Then only we can go back to God here. But Prabhupada doesn't talk about all this, you know, he doesn't even talk about the Lord's form or the pastime. What does he go? Why? Because he goes straight into the fact that all people, they just want sex, and therefore they will just throw everything away and go straight to the 10th canto. That's what he said. So Prabhupada, in order to defeat all the materialists and all these people who, jnanis and all that, you know, who say there's no God, there's no form of God. So in the very first purport, he tells, the impersonal feature of the Supreme Absolute Truth is but its radiation of the sun, like the sun rays. It's nothing. Just, it is the effulgence of the Lord. That's like the elderly gopis once complained to Mother Yasoda, you know, and your son, you know, he comes and steals all the butter, you know. What to do, you know? It's very difficult for us to hide all the butter. Even when we hide them in dark places, he comes and steals them. Because we believe it must be the jewels on his body that is, you know, shining so much that it's so bright he can steal. And after that they said, and then Mother Yasoda said, no, I will take away all the jewelry. Right? So he will not, the jewels will not give out light. So he can't see where is the butter. And the elderly gopi said, no, even if you take out all the jewelry, his body has an effulgence. It's so effulgent that he can still, you know, go to the darkest place and steal all that butter. So in this way we can understand the effulgent is coming from the Lord's body. Nothing in this world exists without the Lord's effulgence. Even the sun borrows that effulgence from the Lord. See, can you imagine? The sun is so bright, with the sun's light, this whole material universe is moving on. You can be born, flowers are blooming, we have water, we have food, so many things are growing so we can eat. The light of the sun. Just imagine the light of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How much more that is effulgent and that will give us life. And yes, because the light is so great, jnanis are attracted to that. But intelligent person prays, says, in the Vedas, he says, please, O Lord, remove this light. That you just remove this light so I can see the personal features. Yeah, because they are more interested in the personal features. Because why? We want to have a relationship. Because we all want to serve someone. So that is nature, you know. We have to serve people. We can't just live without serving anybody. Prabhupada mentions here 12.2 Bhagavad Gita. 12.5, sorry. 12.5, he says, let me see. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested impersonal feature of the supreme advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always very difficult for those who are embodied. So, what is he saying? These people who are concentrating on their minds on the unmanifested Brahman effulgence, for them, the process of going back to Godhead is very difficult. Very, very difficult. Because you're embodied. Embodied means you are under the influence of Maya. If you're liberated, that means you are under the influence of the internal energy of the Lord. That is the meaning. Very simple. It's just like spiritual master may be sitting on a seat. A bug may also be sitting on the seat. But the consciousness of the bug, the consciousness of the spiritual master is totally different. The spiritual master knows what is the goal of life. The bug doesn't know. Right? So what we are trying to say is, they are in the same space, but different consciousness. So, we can be in the same space, different consciousness. That means, if you are Maya conscious, you are in material world. If you are Krishna conscious, you are in the spiritual world. Very simple. That is the thing we must understand. That is why we must know jnana. Knowledge must be there. But what knowledge? What is this knowledge? Krishna gives that knowledge. So, so the jnana is what they do. They concentrate on this unmanifested form. And they study the Vedic literatures very hard. They learn the Sanskrit, which is also very difficult. They understand the non-perceptual feelings. These feelings are non-perceptual, you know. You can't perceive it. But they try to understand these feelings. And they have to realize all these processes and take them a long time. Finally, they're not successful. It's because this process is not easy. Bhakti yoga is easy. Why? What do you do? We just go, we have deity, we just pray to the deity, speak to the deity, offer a bhoga and take prasadam, we chant in front of the deity, we sing. At the end of life, we remember the deity and we go back to Godhead. Whereas the jnanis, they can't remember. They're trying their best but they cannot remember. Because they're still trying to, what am I supposed to remember? Is it the mountain or the tree or, you know, it's like, it's so difficult, you know, is it light? You know, what's going to happen, you know? They have difficulty. So this is the problem with the jnanis. But Krishna has given us independence, you know? The living entity has got independence. And he wants, if you really desire to merge into the Brahman effulgence, okay, Krishna says, okay, you merge. But you only will accomplish eternality and knowledge aspect. But you will not able to understand or appreciate bliss. You will not be able to do that. Only bhakta can do that. So sometimes the jnanis, you know, by the mercy of the devotees, you know, they get a chance to come to bhakti yoga after they, you know, finish jnana yoga. They come to, because the goal of jnana yoga and Ashtanga yoga and all that other yogas is actually to know the personality of Godhead. And bhakti yoga gives that process immediately. You don't have to worry, you don't have to go through the jnana yoga process, you don't have to. Okay, if they have gone through this and they met a devotee, the devotee's mercy, they say, okay, now you should take up the process of bhakti yoga. So they take it up. But still, because many years they have been practicing, it's difficult for them. At the end of life, they become bewildered, you know. They still cannot understand the form of the Lord. So, as the Bhagavatam says, you have an independence, don't misuse this independence. Please take to bhakti yoga immediately. Do not deviate, because your life will be lost. This is very important. Because if you ignore this process of bhakti yoga, you insist on taking other paths, you'll become an atheist. At the end of the day, all the Jnana Yoga and all that, they all give up all the process and they start philanthropy and open hospitals and all that, because then finally they'll say, let me help man, let me open a hospital, let me do this, let me do that, let me feed people. So they will not understand God, because they don't have any concept of Godhead, no concept. They do not have, because at the end of the day they say, ah, there's no God. I can't see him, I can't talk to him, I can't do anything. So there must be no God. You know, finish. Atheist. So don't take up this process of Jnana Yoga. So, Prabhupada, actually this the 12th verse tells you to take up Bhakti Yoga. So when you take up Bhakti Yoga, what happens? You are immediately liberated from the condition of material misery and necessity. Prabhupada said here, anartha nivirti. Anartha nivirti is the unwanted things, the sinful things that are all cleared from your existence. This anartha nivirti, Prabhupada says, the gross type is the sex desire. So even, who's that? Is it psychologist or psychiatrist?
Oh,
no. Carl. Yeah? Carl. So anyway, he also said that, you know, sex, around sex, you know. Huh? Oh, yeah, yeah. Freud. Yes, sorry. Oh. Freud. So Freud, you know, says this is sex, this whole world revolves around sex. Even Bhagavan says the whole world revolves around sex. Material world actually revolves around sex, not the spiritual world. So Prabhupada says this sex desire is actually, we want to lord it over, you know. This is actually sex desire. We actually want to be the boss. We want to be the Purusha. We want to enjoy things. And therefore Krishna has given us this facility in this material world. He has given us this material world. Say, okay, go and enjoy. But at the same time he has said, after enjoying this thing, you must come back. So he's given every facility. He has given the material world and he has also given the scriptures. Not only has he given the scriptures, he's also sent the guru, the spiritual master, the transcendentalist who know about Krishna. So our independence is there. So what do you want to do? Either we take up Krishna consciousness or we take up material consciousness, Maya consciousness. Right? So, but one thing we don't understand, or rather we don't come to grips, is that we all have to serve someone. We have to serve. Sometimes we have to serve our wife or husband, we have to serve our bosses, we have to serve our business, or we have to serve so many things. Sometimes we are retired, we have nobody to serve, all the children are grown up and gone and we are alone, we don't know who to serve, we go and buy a dog or a cat and we serve the dog and the cat. That's what's happening in this material world. You know, all of us, you can see it for yourself. They will take the dog religiously in the morning, you know, go on. Let it pass motion and all that, you know. Come back. They'll groom. They'll take care of the dog very nicely, but they don't take care of the deities. This deity worship is too difficult. So much time is spent. The deity doesn't respond. The dog at least licks you, you know. Crazy people. But that see, what they don't understand is the deity actually speaks. Deity actually, there is a reciprocation. Those who perform devotional service will attest to this fact, that the deity actually speaks to you. You know? It's a fact. The deities respond. They may not open the mouth and say, Hari Bol, you know. But they have done, like Sakshi Gopal, you know, the story of the just Sakshi Gopal, where, you know, he spoke to the Lord and said, you be my witness. So the Lord became his witness and came and said, okay, you go, I'll follow, and he followed. The Lord does, but are you pure enough? Are you purified? Are you still have all these anarthas in you? You still have that sex desire, right? You have that sex desire and you want to speak to the Lord. How can? Not possible. Right? Is it possible for everybody to go to the university and become doctors?
No.
Why? Not qualified. You have to qualify yourself, then you can get admitted into the university and become a doctor. Right? Otherwise it's not possible. Everybody cannot be doctors. Everybody cannot be accountants. Everybody cannot be lawyers. You can if you want, you must. See, that is the good thing about Bhakti Yoga and Krishna consciousness. Everybody can become Krishna conscious. Ah, see? Not like material world. Some only become, can, you know, some university, you know, our university in Singapore has only got 120 places for doctors. 30 odd places for dentists. I don't know about lawyers. But the point is, in material world, they limit. You say, only how many people can? You fight among yourself, you die, you kill yourself, I don't care. After doing that, you come. But Krishna never said that. Krishna said, all of you can come back. All of you can take up this process, and if you are successful, can come back to Godhead. He is allowing that. That is the difference between material world. Material world which only limits something, when and Krishna conscious, Krishna loka, Krishna allows everybody to go back to Godhead. But we must have the eagerness. Nityananda Prabhu said, you must have the eagerness to purchase this. It is free in the market. It is free. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave it freely. He wants to take you all back. Krishna wants to take you all back to Godhead. That's why he came at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came, said, okay, all of you, please come. But still we resist. See, attachment is so great. We still attached, you know. All this is still attached. Oh no, my wife, my house, my car. How can I live? Krishna comes one day and says, Haribol, you can come now. Krishna, I still have some job to do, you know. I still haven't settled my debt. My children haven't grown up. They haven't gone to university. I haven't married them off, you know. What's happening? That means we haven't realized, our knowledge is not there. Prabhupada writes in the purport, our knowledge, we must use this knowledge to detach ourselves from this material world. We must use this knowledge. We cannot give up this knowledge. Okay, Krishna says, but Krishna doesn't know my problems. Haribol, Krishna actually knows your problem. He's in the heart. He knows your problem. That's why he's telling you, hey, please, give up this material nonsense and go back to Godhead. We still don't want to. That is the difficulty. Actually, Krishna consciousness, the bhakti yoga process is the easiest. If we have intelligence, we can think, yes, this is right, this is wrong, right? We know. We can differentiate what is right and what is wrong. That's why we don't go to jail, because we don't run foul of the law. If you run foul of the law, you go to jail. Similarly, you run foul of Krishna's law, you stay here. But we want to stay here. That's the beauty of it. We want to stay. We love this. We like it so much. We must use our intelligence to think clearly. Am I really happy in this material world? No, we are not. Some of you will say, yes, I am. I got a big house. I got 3 floors, you know. All got marble, got parquet, everything nice, got icon also. When I go home, I'm very happy. But we don't understand. The threefold miseries actually is affecting us all the time. We've always been troubled. We learn to live with the trouble. Once we learn to live with the trouble, it becomes a norm. Just like some HDB houses near the rubbish bin, you know, they have this big rubbish collection point, you know, and some flats are there. You go near that place, it's very smelly, you know. But the people living there, after some time, got used to that smell. And they don't smell anything anymore. it become a norm, it's normal, nothing. So similarly, we are also feeling normal. This is our normal condition of life. Actually, it's not the normal condition of life. Just like the fish, if you look at the fish and if you take the fish out of the water, what happens to it? It's struggling, right? It's jumping up and down, jumping, it's gasping for air. Even though air is all around, but still, what happens? It's still gasping for air. Why? Why is it gasping for air? Air is around, but still it's just, why? Because it is not in its natural environment. We are similarly, actually we are all gasping for air, you know. We are not in our natural environment. Who can say we are happy every second? Who can say we don't have disease? Who can say you never grow old? Who can say you will never die? Nobody. No one, I think no one can say that, right? Everybody has to go through all these miseries. Not only this, you know, friends and relatives, husbands and wives, children, everybody gives you trouble. Right? Boss gives trouble. Everybody will give trouble. We must understand all these things. Then only we can go, come out of this unnatural environment. And then you see, oh, this is actually, that's why Krishna gives the Vedas. He allows us to read it, so that we know, we can acquire the knowledge, oh yeah, actually this is not the right place to be in. I should actually go back to Godhead. And how do I go back to Godhead? And Krishna gives you the process. He tells you, okay, you must do this, you must give up all this. You must have the yukta vairagya. You must have the detachment. You must be very firm. Prabhupada says, simple living, high thinking. Simple. You must live simple. You can do. Rupa Goswami says, you cannot stop working. But you must work and give the results to Krishna. He says that. Because in this material, you cannot stop working. That's what the jnanis are trying to do. They are trying to say, okay, I'll stop working and go back to God. No, you can, it's not possible. You have to work. So, Rupa Goswami says, work, but give the results to Krishna. And Prabhupada says, simple living, high thinking. Work, live simply. You don't have to acquire a lot of things. You don't have to. Simple things enough for the body and mind and the soul to be kept together. Why do you want to keep the body and mind and soul together? To realize Krishna. To go back to Godhead. So high thinking means knowing what is our goal. Our goal is to re-establish our relationship with Krishna. That is our goal. That is the goal of human life. You have 8,400,000 species of life. And we have gone through all that. And then we have come, taken the human form. Only in the human form of life can we read the books. Depends on what type of book, but we can read the scriptures. And these scriptures will allow us to realize who is God. And once it allows us to realize who is God, we can go back to Godhead. But of course, we must do the things. Right? We just cannot say, oh, I've read, like some people, you know, oh yes, I've read already. I'm going back to God. Some there's some sects like that, you know. They'll say, oh, I've accepted, therefore I'm going back. Oh, not possible. Not only you accept that, you must do. You must practice. Because, like I said earlier, you have become used to this thing. This material world, this body, everything, it is a habit. This is a habit. We have acquired this habit. Now we have to change the habit. The habit has to be changed. The habit has to be Krishna conscious. If you don't change the habit, you keep on doing the same thing, you have to stay here. But it's not a big thing, right? Not a big thing to stay here, right? People don't realize that. And this Prabhupada was saying that sex desire has got three headings: profit, adoration and distinction. So, you can see in the history, in the Bhagavatam also, There are many people who had a lot of sex desire, a lot of desire for profit and adoration. And there were many people who had no desire for all these things. Maybe I should give you some illustration, some story, you know, from the Bhagavatam. In the beginning of the creation, when Lord Brahma created all the sages and he created everybody to procreate, at that time there was Sutapa and Prishni. I don't know whether you know the story. This story is in the Krishna book. Alright? Now, Brahma told them, you know, you please go and procreate Sutapa and Prishni. But Sutapa and Prishni were very Krishna conscious. They only wanted God, to go back to Godhead. And therefore they prayed. But they prayed for about 10,000 years. Then Krishna finally came to them and says, okay. Because their prayer was, they wanted Krishna as their son. So Krishna said, okay, not only will I be a son this life, I'll be a son three times. Three lives. So Krishna was born to Sutapa and Prishni as Krishna Garbha. In the next life, Sutapa and Prishni were born as Kashyapa and Aditi. And as Kashyapa and Aditi, Urukrama, Vamanadev was born. Krishna took his birth as. And in the final birth, Aditi and Kashyapa were born as Devaki and Vasudev. And Krishna was born to them. And they went back to Godhead after them. Krishna told them, as he formed, you know, he showed his four-handed form as a baby, and then he said, okay, mother and father, you have fulfilled your duty, you're going back to Godhead. So, no desire, right? No sex desire, nothing. They only desired the Lord. But, of course, they had, you know, they had union in order to have the child. So, that sex desire is different from the gross material sex desire, where we want to have sex without children. This is what's happening in this material world. They'll find all kinds of nonsense in order to, what, they'll take pills, they'll use all kinds of things just to make sure that they don't have a child, because they know child is troublesome. But they want the desire, the fleeting, just a few seconds of happiness, that's what they want. And this is what's happening in this material world. And because of that, you're bound, you're still stay in this material world. That's what Prabhupada said, if you want to have a child, you get married properly. Proper marriage, see, this boy is compatible with this girl. Before you have a child, you must chant 50 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra. 50 rounds, that's about, 12 hours of chanting before. Because then why? Your consciousness will be pure. You'll be only thinking of Krishna. The child will be Krishna conscious. That's important. Right? So there's others like Saubari Muni. Now he was meditating. He was a jnani, right? He was an underwater. He was trying to perform Ashtanga yoga, you know, underwater. Thousands of years, yes, trying to concentrate. And then one day he just opened his eyes, he saw two fish mating and he fell down. What nonsense. That means what? Your mind is not fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord. Your mind is flickering, that means in your heart you still have sex desire. The sex desire means to enjoy. I want to enjoy. I want to enjoy. Me. I. Mine. Everything is me. That's the problem with the material world. We all are like that. All of us. Unless you're a pure devotee, all of us have this desire. Me. Everything me. Why the Prabhu never look at me? Why this Prabhu never say Hare Krishna to me? Why this Prabhu never give me the prasadam? Why this, why that, you know? Me. That's the problem. Because sex desire is there, still in the heart. That's why Prabhupada said, as an intelligent person, you can know how far you are away from this sex desire. Because you use your intelligence, you see, am I going on this path? Am I away from this path? What am I doing? Am I still attached to this different thing? Profit, adoration, yeah, distinction. Am I still attached to it? Do I want that? How much do I want that? Then we can see how much sex desire we still have. Right? So we have to see that. Then you know your progress. That's an intelligence. That's how you use your intelligence to become Krishna conscious. We can see Hiranyakashipu. What Hiranyakashipu wanted? Profit. Yes, he wants everything. His brother Hiranyaksha. Gold, everything, I want everything. Everything I want. Take. Gold, everything, take. He went up to the heavenly kingdoms, conquered everybody. Hiranyakashipu also said that. He would like to sleep on the bed of gold. Everything he wanted, gold, everything. Profit, adoration, you, and distinction. He wanted to be God. He made sure that everybody, you know, in the kingdom, in the whole world, universe pray, Om Hiranyaksha Namaha. Instead of Om Vasudevaya Namaha, he created his own mantra. This is the problem with the materialist. Everything is me. I want to be God. First they'll have find a beautiful girl. Like Ravana, you know, you see why Ravana? You see, he wanted some beautiful, you know. They want union. From this union, more things, children, house, you know. So that's how Hiranyakashipu was. He got a wife, he got several wives, he got several children. He got a big, nice palace. After that, not enough, he wanted to conquer the heavenly kingdom. Not enough, now I must be God. Everybody listen to me. This is the problem. Ravana also. Lanka was so beautiful. Lanka was made of gold. And yet, he was trying to build staircase to the heaven. Why? Not enough. The desire to fulfill his desires, you know. He never satiated. He's just like pouring ghee to fire. He just keep on pouring. The fire will keep on growing and growing and bigger and bigger. It will not stop. It's not possible to stop. It's difficult. So sex desire is the same. We think that, oh, I will have sex now and then I just want to try and finish and that's it. But having sex, then after that you keep on having, yes, nice, more, even though it's fleeting. That's for the few moments. Okay. And after the sex, you say, Hare. But again, it comes there again. Yes, I want to have sex. Yes. Then have you having sex? Not nice, not good. Yeah, not. Goes away. Then comes back again. This is not good. Why? We are not fixed on a higher desire. We don't have that. That's like a child, you know, he plays with some toys. As the child grows up, he wants a bicycle. He wants something different. He wants something that will satisfy him more. So the child wants more and more. So we don't have that. Because right now we don't know what is higher. Unless you are given something higher, you will stay to this lower desire only. But Krishna is kind, he has given us. He has given us, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this secret. So there is a secret desire going on. There is some secret. The secret, yes. And some internet and all that, people are saying, oh, the secret is yes, nothing. Desire is the secret. But our secret is chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So like that. So we must have that. Vairagyam, you know the Tamil word, you know. comes from Sanskrit. Some Tamils will say, no, it comes from the Tamil word. There's a big debate going on in South India, Tamil Nadu. No. Tamil is a word, and from Tamil, all languages came. Anyway, foolish people. So there's another story of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj was a devotee, very great devotee. I think no one can come close to him. He was the emperor of this whole universe. This whole planet was his. That's why they called it Bharat Varsha. Right? So what happened to him? He ruled the country very nicely. Beautifully. Went fantastic. Everybody was Krishna conscious. Everybody was happy. There was no want. They did not have any difficulty. Whatever they wanted was satisfied by Bharat Maharaj. But Bharat Maharaj was Krishna conscious. That's why he did all this according to what his guru taught him. And his guru also taught him at the end of, towards the end of your life, you must give up all these attachments and go to the forest and become Krishna conscious. And take up meditation and praying to Lord Krishna. So he did that. So he did that, he went to the forest, he gave up everything, he went to the forest, beautiful wife, children, everything. He said, okay, your son, you take over, I'm going. I want to have Krishna. So he went to the forest, he sat down, he meditated, and he made a lot of progress. He was making so much progress. Suddenly he saw one small deer, baby deer, and his attention diverted. He got diverted. And he fell down. The next birth he took was as a deer. So detachment wasn't very, very full. Full on detachment wasn't there. Such a great devotee, you know. Can you imagine? Look at us. Can we compare anywhere to Bharat Maharaj? No way. And yet we have this gall to think that we can go back to Godhead just by coming every once a week or something, you know, thinking that we know everything. Just imagine, just pause for a while and think. Bharat Maharaj was such a great devotee and he fell down. Who are we? Think, Prabhu and Mataji. Who are we? We cannot come close. Can't even smell. Bharat Maharaj, devotional attributes. You cannot. And he had trouble. We had to wake up. Bharat Maharaj woke up in his next life. Jada Bharat, he was born. And he says this time, Yukta Vairagyam. I am not going to mix and, with anybody. So he became like an avadut. He did not care about anybody, his family, his brothers, sisters, don't care. Completely mesmerized in Krishna conscious only. Nobody recognized him as a devotee. And that's the quality of a devotee. Can you imagine? Not a show bottle devotee, you know, go around and say, hey, I'm a great devotee, you know, I'm such a great devotee. You know. I did so many things, I did that, I did this, I've done that. No, devotees never do that. They hide their qualities because they are very shy. Why? They're shameful because they realize how much nonsense they have done in their life, in the past lives and all the other lives that they have accumulated. Only in this life that by some Krishna's mercy they are able to understand a little bit of the Lord. And because of that they realize that they are such fallen conditioned souls. We must come to the realization, because right now we are all thinking we are great devotees. That is our problem. Our problem is we are thinking we are all great devotees. Yes, I have become Hare Krishna devotee. Yes. I can go back to God, say, yes, no, Haribo, so sorry, you know. You're nowhere near. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj had so many devotees, you know, disciples. Only one of them was able to preach purely the message of Krishna consciousness. And through his work, we all know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I didn't say we all became devotees, okay? We all know about Krishna. Now only we know. Before that we didn't know. So the Vaishnava is there. Krishna is kind. He came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and we didn't take it up. So many devotees came, we still didn't take it up. Prabhupada came and we are now started to read the books. Started to appreciate, yes, there is a God, there is Krishna, we must do this. But we haven't actually, I mean, maybe one or two, I don't know, maybe all of you are Vaishnavas, you know, going back to Godhead. But I know myself. Everybody knows himself. We are not, I am not a devotee. We know, we are still entrapped in this material consciousness because of our lusty desires. That's our problem. So we have to make sure that we can go back to Godhead. So another thing is, Prabhupada was saying, is sex desire. If you still have that desire, do not take up sannyas. Right? So, Kali Yuga, you're not supposed to take sannyas. This is stated in the scriptures. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took it. Why? The reason is because he wanted to spread Krishna consciousness movement. Because even now, people respect the sannyasi. People respect. So, for that, because one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually chanting Hare Krishna and then he was chanting the gopis' names. He was chanting, you know, Lalita, Vishakha, you know, like this he was saying. His disciples, or rather his students, they looked at him and they started scolding him. They said, well, you're not supposed to chant all this. You're supposed to chant Hare Krishna. You're teaching your guru what to do. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized that people are going to look at him and say, you're just an ordinary householder and you're trying to teach me what to do. I'm also a householder. What? So what is the difference? They don't distinct between, there's no distinction between first devotee, high class, you know, Paramahamsa. They don't see that, you know. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, okay, I will take sannyas for the purpose of distributing the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. That is why he took it up. So Prabhupada took, so Bhaktisiddhanta took like this. And Prabhupada also gave his disciples sannyas so that they can become Krishna conscious. Because bhakti yoga is so powerful, if you take it up sincerely, seriously, all these sex desires will slowly melt away. It's possible. But we must take it up seriously. Not just lip service, yes. Or even chanting lip service, you know. Sometimes we just say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, yes, that Prabhu is very handsome, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Mataji is very beautiful, Hare Krishna. Our mind is not fixed. No, it's a fact. We've seen it. We know it. We, you know, so many things are happening. We know. We see. That's the problem with this material world, right? We don't have. That's why we need a guru. Om Ajnana Timiranda Jnanan Jana Salaka Chakshu Unumatamena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha. The guru brings you from the darkness to the light. He teaches you how to engage in Krishna consciousness. You need a guru. Not that you turn around and say, oh, I don't need him. I am in direct contact with Krishna. Haribol. Screen, telephone, yes. He also got cell phone, I also got cell phone. Not possible. We must go through the via medium of the devotee. Because the devotee has realized Krishna. And he can give you Krishna. But you must follow the instruction of the devotee. You cannot say, oh, okay, devotee, yes, yes, you have given, yeah, yes. You told me about Krishna. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. But the other person showed me how to become a gopi in the Rasa Leela. No? You don't know. So sorry. No? I don't want you. That is prostitution. You take the initiation from one person and then you start to take different association from another person and that is wrong. We have to take proper association with the devotee and the spiritual master. All the Guru Tattva is misinterpreted, you know. Guru Tattva is one Guru. Guru means what? He's heavy and he teaches you the truth. He's teaching you how to go back to Godhead. If one Guru teaches you this and another Guru teaches you the same thing, they are all the same. That is Guru Tattva. Doesn't mean that my Guru is the only one who can teach, the other person Guru cannot teach. That Guru is too much, like he's too fat, he's always eating. This Guru is very strict, you know. Or that Guru is very nice to me, you know. I talk to him, he talk to me. He's very nice, we sit on the same platform. I can sit with him and I can talk to him. Very nice. That is Guru, that is nice. That is not Guru. Guru means he takes the position like Krishna, you know. Krishna was the cousin, right? Arjuna and Krishna were cousins. But when Arjuna asked, please instruct me, what did Krishna do? He took the position of the Guru. You rascal. You are a fool. You don't know anything. You are talking so clever, you know, giving me all the arguments from the scriptures, but you don't even know the conclusion of the scriptures. You are a rascal. Now listen to me. This is Krishna consciousness. You have to surrender to Guru. You have to surrender to Krishna. That is Guru. Guru will teach you. So sorry. Painful, yes. What to do? A surgeon cuts. Why does a surgeon do surgery? He's not killing. You see, there are two ways, right? If I take a knife and I slash you, I'm a murderer. If I take a knife as a doctor and I cut you, I'm a surgeon and curing you. So the Guru, when he takes his knife and cuts you, he's curing you. He's teaching you. But other so-called Gurus, if they teach you something, they're cutting you, they're killing you. Because they don't know the conclusion of the Vedas. So we have to be careful who we take association, who is the Guru. We must look out, search, pray to Krishna. So if you don't have a Guru, then you pray to Krishna directly and say, Krishna, you please help me. I'm going to come to you directly until you give me a Guru. And Krishna will say, yes, this Prabhu is really serious, now I will send him a Guru. Then he can come to me through the Guru. Guru, you see, Krishna gives the Guru and the Guru gives Krishna. So nice, so easy. So the other point is, Prabhupada said, you should not go to the 10th cantos directly. If you still have sex desire, stick to the 1st and 2nd canto. Don't move beyond that. But at the same time, Prabhupada is so kind. He has summarized the 10th canto and given it to us. How magnanimous can a devotee be? Because he knows your rascals, you'll jump to the 10th canto. Because I told you don't read the 10th canto, you will read the 10th canto. You're rascals. That's why. So Krishna, see, Prabhupada is very intelligent. So Prabhupada thought, now, yes, these idiots, these fools, they are going to read it no matter what I say. They're going to read, they will read, they are reading. Especially the five chapters where they talk about the Rasa Leela. So Prabhupada said, okay, let me condense and summarize. Because if you read the Krishna book, you will see how nicely Prabhupada has given the whole gist of the 10th canto in a very beautiful manner so that you will have no choice but to become Krishna conscious. and you will not deviate. You will not be able to move away and become sexually aroused. No. Because a lot of nonsense is going on, because people read the 10th canto and say, oh, Krishna had sex with all the girls, therefore I'm going. You know how old Krishna was? Rasa Leela? Only about 10 years old. Not very old, no? Young boy. There was no sex, no mundane sex in their mind. He called them and they came. Why? That is dharma. You see, in this material world, there is pious and impious activities. I do this, this is pious. I do that, that is impious. This is wrong, that is right. But Krishna consciousness activities, whatever you perform for Krishna, there's no such thing as impious and pious activities. Nothing. Everything is transcendental activities. All the activities performed for Krishna's satisfaction is transcendental. So the gopi is running in the middle of the night to see Krishna when he called on his flute. It is a transcendental activity. We cannot come down to a material thing, oh, they went to have sex. No. They went to satisfy Krishna. Whatever he wanted, we have to satisfy. Can we come to that platform? No. Until and unless you clear this mundane sex desire in your heart, not able to serve Krishna. Not able to serve. So sorry. Not. You can't do that. Must totally clear ourselves from all this mundane sex desire. Then only we can serve Krishna. It's not possible. Otherwise it's not possible. Please, therefore, take up the chanting seriously. Read the book seriously. I know all of us go to work, but sometime of the day, half an hour, you should set aside to reading the books of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavad Gita. You must read. And read it very, very seriously. You read it very seriously, this half hour will accumulate. When they accumulate, then you will realize. You can start to see the lotus feet of the Lord. Slowly then you will go up. As you go up, you see, the first two cantos will clear your sex desire. The rest will give you the attributes to see Krishna face to face. That is the importance. That's what Prabhupada is saying. We have to do that. Don't just jump. Alright, we shall stop here. And Prabhuji, any questions or comments? If I say something wrong, please forgive me. We are running late. Okay. Any questions? Any comments? Any corrections? Yes, Guru. There is one question.
Thank you, Guru, for nice class. Just came across one argument from other aspect. Rupa Goswami says that if you have material desire, don't go on the bank of Yamuna, Keshighat, where Krishna is playing his flute. That means actually he wants us to take shelter of Lord. So he is quoting that and telling that similarly when all acharyas say that don't jump to 10th canto, that means actually genuinely they want us to jump to 10th canto. So can you give some guidelines about how we can nail down this argument?
Rupa Goswami said that it's a little bit sarcastic. He's trying to say that, you know, because if you do go there, you will be attracted by Krishna. You understand? You will be attracted. So if you don't want to take up Krishna consciousness, don't go. You understand? Whereas you are saying that the 10th canto, if I say don't go there, it doesn't mean I will go there. Yeah, that's what, because that's our rascal mentality. We will go there. So the gurus are telling you a good, they're telling you not sarcastic, you know. They're not telling you, oh, you cannot use these two and misinterpret. You cannot say that Rupa Goswami said this, therefore he actually means please do that. No. He is trying, Rupa Goswami is telling a different thing. His poetry is like that. The poetry that he wrote to say don't go there is actually embellished. There are certain embellishments to a poetry, the way the poem was constructed. Therefore, if you read the poetry in its whole meaning, the whole poetry, you will understand he is trying to actually bring you to Krishna. Whereas when a guru tells you don't read the 10th canto, he is telling you, rascal, don't read. Don't read means don't read. Don't misinterpret. If I tell you don't read, you don't read. Simple as that. That means if you do read, then you are a rascal. Just like Dronacharya. See, Dronacharya once teaching all the Pandavas, right? How to the war skills, shooting and all that. There's this what is that? Ekalavya, yes. Ekalavya, what did he do? He approached and he wanted to learn. But Dronacharya said, no, I won't teach you. Right? He said, I won't teach you. This fella went to the forest, hide, washed everything and he learned. He became very good, you know. But he went, so when once Arjuna shot an arrow, this Ekalavya did better than him. Arjuna was very shocked. How come someone is better than me? So he asked Dronacharya, what happened? So Dronacharya said, I didn't teach anybody, you know, I only taught you. So, but then someone is better than me. So they found out it's Ekalavya. So Dronacharya went to ask him and says, how did you learn this? Oh, I made a statue of you and I became, you know, I prayed to that statue and I became very good at this. So, but what did Dronacharya do? Say, okay, as a Guru Dakshini, give me your thumb, right thumb, so you cannot shoot anymore. He took off and he cut off and gave it to him. But even though he listened to his Guru first, the first instruction of the Guru he did not accept. What was the first instruction? The first instruction of Dronacharya was, do not learn these skills. But Ekalavya disobeyed the order of the Guru. And he did it. He tried to learn. Therefore, Ekalavya is at fault. So if a Guru tells you, don't read 10th canto, you don't read the 10th canto. Simple as that. You don't give another Guru's poem to say that, oh, therefore. That's wrong. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit harsh. I'm not saying this as a personal thing. Please don't take this as personal. I'm just giving an answer. Alright? Thank you. Any more? Okay, thanks for all. We shall have a short kirtan and then Prasharam will be served. Thank you. Hari Bol. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Ananda Koti Vaishnava Ki Jai.